Let's take up our Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Last week, we finally finished Daniel chapter 9 on the 490 years of prophecy, or the 70 weeks of Daniel, as it is also known by. And we went through several weeks looking at the closing verses to Daniel 9. But this morning, we're going to break ground in chapter 10. In chapter 10, Daniel is going to be visited by a heavenly being who comes to give him further light to the marvelous things that he has been exposed to in these visions. Let me read the first 9 verses. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. You notice how much time flags are given here. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So we're talking, dogmatically, of 21 days. A fast, not a partial fast, but based on verses 3, it was a very extensive fast. And in the 24th day of the 1st month, notice all these time indicators. As I was by the river, was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girt with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. This person almost sounds very similar to whom John sees in Revelation 1. Eyes with eyes of fire, feet of brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. So notice, Daniel was not alone. So we're given a time element. We're giving a lot of information and kind of like background to all this. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. So whatever he sees in verses 9, this being who simply appears, is so overwhelming. And notice, Daniel's coming off of a 21-day fast. So his body is already somewhat, weakened by the lack of nourishment for 21 days. Then he's confronted with this heavenly being, which seems to zap or drain what energy or vigor he still had. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. So here we have this overwhelming vision of this heavenly being that Daniel sees. Well, we now move forward in our journey in the book of Daniel as we consider his closing days as a prophet and as a statesman. I've entitled this lesson, Daniel's Closing Days and Prophecies. And so mainly chapters 10 all the way through 12 is going to be, I believe, Daniel's closing days as not only a statesman for the Empire of Persia, but as God's prophet at that particular time. At a conservative guess, Daniel would be some 82 to 84 years old at this time. However, his age did not seem to deter him from executing his duties as both a statesman and a prophet. Okay? Babylon has already fallen. Now notice verse 1 of chapter 10. We're in the third year of Cyrus. So this is like 3 years after the fall of Babylon, which according to the book is recorded for us in chapter 5. Now before I go any further, let's look at the board that I have up here. Okay? On the left side of this board, here is a chronology of the 12 chapters of the book of Daniel. Chapters 1 through 4 follows pretty much in a chronological line. And we have the Babylonian Empire. In chapters 1 through 4, King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel are the main players as far as those on the earth. He's the king during those four chapters. Okay? Now, when you come to chapter 5, notice carefully on the board, I have chapter 5 as point 2, Babylon's fall, but that's not the order of the book. Chapter 5 drops a bit further because chapters 7 and 8, those events and those visions occur before the fall of Babylon, when the last king of Babylon is on the throne, the king who sees the handwriting on the wall. So you have chapters 1 through 4, then you got to read chapters 7 through 8 chronologically, then you would come to chapter 5. Okay, you see that? First four chapters are fine, chronologically. Then, when you get done with chapter 4, you got to read 7 and 8. Then you read 5, because that's when the Babylonian Empire fell that very same night. And Belshazzar has his feast, and he toasts the gods of gold and silver and wood and stone, and the handwriting appears on the wall. Now, but get this. After chapter 5, you got to read chapter 9. Chapter 9. That's when Persia is now the main player. And that's when Daniel, in the first year of Cyrus, if you check out 9:1, it's the first year of Cyrus that Daniel receives the prophecy of the 490 years. Then you go to chapter 6 with the Daniel in the lion's den. Darius. Daniel in the lion's den. Okay? Then you would conclude with chapters 10 through 12. 10 through 12. So that's the chronology of the book of Daniel. So it doesn't follow a strict chronological 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have to read the beginning of each of those chapters and you find these time indicators. So when you come to Daniel 10 verse 1, you're given a whole lot of time indicators. It says that this particular visitation that Daniel has is in the third year of Cyrus. The third year of Cyrus. And this thing comes to Daniel. This particular person comes to him with this added revelation. But notice in that verses 1, the language, how just the words flow. Daniel says here, whatever was about to be given to him was, number 1, true. Number 2, the time of what was going to transpire within this revelation was long off in the future, so it's something still yet in the future. And we're told something else. Daniel understands everything that was going to be given to him. He is going to be, he's going to have a full understanding. He says here, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Then in verses 2 and following, you have this 3-week fast. Now look back on the board and notice what we discover. And we're going to look more into this here momentarily. He says that his fast was 3 solid weeks, 21 days. But on the 24th day, the fast ends. It also tells us in this prophecy, if you look at verses 4, in the 4 and 20th day of the first month. That is key. What is the first month? Well, it's the month Nisan, which corresponds to our month of April. And guess what? We can prove that his fast began on the 3rd day of the month of Nisan, but it ends on the 21st day. Notice what happens or what occurs in between these two dates on the Jewish calendar. The 10th day of Nisan, as we shall see, is when the Passover lambs are brought in to be scrutinized to make sure that they are ripe candidates to be sacrificed. On the 14th day of Nisan is the Passover, when the Passover lambs are sacrificed. And then on the 15th day of the month, you have the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So notice, Daniel's fast, these 21 days while he's fasting, occurs during this very important time of the year, when the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread coincide together during these 21 days of his fasting. But a few moments ago, I said that Daniel was probably 82 to 84 years old. That's where most of the conservative commentators will place his age at this time. Probably as a young teenage boy in chapter 1, and now the 70 years of captivity are over, right? And now we're into the 3rd year of King Cyrus. So you have like 73 years, tack on whatever age he was when he was taken into exile, probably in his teens. Well, these time indicators provide a very important contextual flag, letting us know when a given utterance was given. Thus, I believe it helps us to arrive at a proper biblical interpretation. Well, with that in mind, let's begin to look a bit more in detail to these 9 verses. What is provided in the text that we just read? Number 1 this morning. Daniel was in a 3-week fasting and mourning period. That much we can glean. Number 2. It occurred in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, and therefore occurs 2 years after the prophecy given in chapter 9. Because Darius and Cyrus were both involved with the fall of Babylon. Darius is going to be made king over Babylon, and the immediate province or the immediate land territory that was attached to the capital city, Cyrus gives this particular Darius that turf as a king over that. He was accountable to Cyrus, but this Darius was king of the city and the surrounding land territory that was attached to that part of the former Babylonian Empire. So Cyrus and Darius are both players at the same time. And so chapter 10 occurs 2 years after the events of chapter 10, of chapter 9. The third thing that we find is found in verses 3, where it tells us that in the 24th, in the 4 and 20th day of the first month, this is the month Nisan. Now turn to Exodus 12. Let's fill in now some information. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, where the month Nisan is the first month of their calendar. their sacred holy calendar. Ready? Look at Exodus chapter 12. Look at verses 1 to 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you, notice, the beginning of months. So, the month in which the Passover and the month in which unleavened bread is celebrated is now designated right here as the beginning of their religious calendar cycle. It begins in the spring with the feasts of Passover and the feast of unleavened bread. That's where we can designate the first month in Daniel 10:4 as Nisan, or our month corresponding to our calendar in April. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So there's dogmatic. You cannot skirt that. So this occurs in the Jewish calendar in the spring when Daniel is going through this 3-week fast and the visitation of this heavenly being. Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. So notice, from the 10th of this month to the 14th of the month, these sacrifices were to be separated from the flocks. And my understanding is they were kept in a guarded area. And it took that number of days to scrutinize the entire animal to make sure there was no blemish, there was no cuts, bruises, broken bones, anything that would disqualify that particular animal to become the Passover sacrifice for that household. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. So, when you look at Daniel 10 and you go back here to Exodus 12 and you put it on a graph like I've done here, you will find out that Daniel's 3-week fast occurred right in the middle of the Jewish calendar where two important feasts were to be observed. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, drop down to verse 15, the same chapter. Exodus chapter 12. Notice, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Kind of a stiff punishment if you were caught with baking powder in your home or in your bread. And the first day shall be a holy convocation. And in the 7th day there shall be a holy convocation unto you. Now here's where people get the Good Friday myth mixed up. Notice very carefully that you had the day of Passover, and immediately the next day was 1 day in seven, the next 7 days was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the first day and the 7th day of that 7-day period was classified a holy convocation. Elsewhere it is called in the Gospels a high Sabbath, separating it from the normal weekly Sabbath of 1 day in seven. So when you read in the Gospels that there was a great urgency in getting the body of Jesus down from the cross because the next day was the Sabbath and preparation had to be made, it is not referring to the weekly Sabbath, Saturday. This occurred in the middle of the week, this Passover day and then the day of unleavened bread. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. That's why, again, going back to the gospel accounts, this great urgency in getting the body of Jesus down and getting it buried, because as that afternoon was ticking on, what was going to occur that same day Jesus died, by evening, you would have the beginning of the next day. Remember, their days began in the evening, not like our clock, where all of our days begin at midnight. Their new day began in the evening, and thus the great urgency. Ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. And when you look at the graph up here, notice Daniel's 21 days of fasting and mourning, okay, fell smack dab when Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread would have been observed. Now, they couldn't do the Passover. The temple had been destroyed. How do you observe the Passover while in exile, where there was no temple to offer anything? You ever stop and think, for those 70 years, did they have to modify the Passover observance? Were there enough Levites or Levite priests scattered across Babylon and the Persian Empire to facilitate multiple sacrifices in a non-designated location where God had designated only one location, and that was in Jerusalem where he set his name? Think about that. How did they observe it? So apparently, Daniel probably was observing it in this 21 days of fasting and mourning. Now again, the Babylonian captivity had already ended. We're in what? The third year of Cyrus. Cyrus already made the proclamation back in Ezra chapter 1 for some of the exiles to return home. So the 70-year captivity is over. And yet Daniel is in mourning and in fasting. Probably, since this is following chapter 9, following all that information given to him about the 490 years and all that was going to transpire, knowing that things for his people were not really settled down yet. They had to go back and rebuild the city. They had to go back and rebuild the temple. And he was also told in that prophecy that the city would be built in most troublous times. The Jews were not going to have an easy go at it when they got back into the land and had to pick up all the pieces that were left behind by the Babylonian invasion. So you're following the way I'm thinking here. He's in mourning for his people. And it fell between these two very important feasts or holidays on their calendar. Well, let me finish. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So even a stranger was to be involved in the observance of this holiday. Ye shall eat nothing leavened, and all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. All I wanted to do by going back to Exodus 12 is to establish that the month Nisan was the first month to their religious calendar cycle. It is also the same month in which Jesus would eventually be crucified, buried, and rise again. And in chapter 10, it is the same month that forms the backdrop to this heavenly visitation, and the fact that Daniel's fasting occurred right smack dab in the middle of two of the most important holidays or feast days Israel was to observe in all her generations. Look at verse 4 of chapter 10. Let's go back now to Daniel chapter 10, verses 4. And in the 24th day, and in the 24th day of the first month. So now we're at the 24th day of the month Nisan. As I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Now, we can also find out exactly where Daniel had this visitation. Get this. The Euphrates River flows right through the city of Babylon. But not this river. If you look at a map and you find the two rivers that form what is normally called the Fertile Crescent, you will find that these two rivers are separated, one from the other, and they will eventually empty out into what is known today as the Persian Gulf. But the Euphrates flows right through the capital city of Babylon. Remember how the Persians stopped up that river and was able to walk on a dry riverbed, enter the city stealthily, and overpower the Babylonians and bring the Babylonian Empire to an end. So what can we say dogmatically? I can say dogmatically that Daniel received this vision not in the city of Babylon, but apparently he was geographically located elsewhere when he received this heavenly visitation. So he was not in the capital city, in the palace. He was geographically elsewhere. He was along the riverbank of this other river that is part of the well-known Fertile Crescent of that part of the world. We even refer to it today as the Fertile Crescent. Those two rivers are still there today. Something else, drop down to verse 7. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quakening fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Something else we can say dogmatically. Daniel was not alone when this visitation occurred. Now, who these men were not told. But since he was a statesman, and since he was part of the Persian hierarchy when it came to the government, I'm going to venture that these were probably governmental officials. Maybe he was on governmental business that took him outside the capital city, okay, to another part of the empire to do whatever. And while he was along the riverbank with this entourage of other people, this heavenly being decides simply to show their face. And this person caused such a great quakening amongst the other men, whoever they were, they ran and hid, leaving Daniel all alone. Look at verse 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. So again, if you put all this together, Daniel comes off of a 3-week fasting, a very, very strict fast, no meat, no wine. Did you notice he didn't even anoint himself? You know what that probably implies? No bathing. The anointing oil was something similar to like cologne, perfume, if you will. David apparently didn't even bathe. It was a real self-inflicting fast that in 3 weeks. Again, now this man is not a teenager. He's now, if we place him between 82 and 84 years old, conservative guess, and you subject someone that age to a 3-week fast, not a partial fast, but a very strict fast, and no bathing, no anointing with the oil, it was taxing on this elderly man. Then he comes in conflict or face to face with this heavenly being and basically zaps what energy that Daniel had left. Okay? Now, let's look at that verses 6 and go to Revelation chapter 1. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Find Revelation chapter 1 and then just hold your place there. Now, I'm going to read in our hearing verse 6 of Daniel 10. Well, Daniel 5 and 10. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girt about, or a gird with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like a beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and his voice and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now look at Revelation 1. Verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You got gold mentioned as the external attire of the visitor in Daniel 10. Gold here is mentioned. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. Daniel 10:6 says what? His eyes as lamps of fire. His feet like unto fine brass. Daniel 10:6 says his body was also like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as the lamp of fire, his arms and his feet like unto polished brass. Do you see the stark similarities between what Daniel is seeing and this heavenly being, and what John describes in Revelation 1? I think they're the same person. But then notice, it says his voice as the sound of many waters. Daniel 10:6 says the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Overpowering words, thunderous, commanding, authoritative words. And Daniel was simply overwhelmed, overtaken, as well as the men that were with him. And so I want to close just this opening to Daniel chapter 10 by looking at the historical time flags that are now given to us. We're in the third year of Cyrus, 2 years following the events of Daniel 9. It's the month of Nisan, the month of April, two key holidays associated. Daniel going through 21 days of fasting, a very strict fast. And then, while on business, probably for the government, located outside the capital city, along the riverbank of the other major river forming the Fertile Crescent, this heavenly being appears, and appears in such a way that it shocks the men that were with him. They fled in order to hide. Daniel simply falls before this heavenly visitation. Well, may God choose to bless his word as we simply look at some of the highlights as we go into chapter 10. May his name be praised.